Welcome to the From Broke to Badass Masterclass series. I'm your host, Jennifer Griffith, and I'm collaborating with a network of successful women to learn how they live their best lives. The badass women in this masterclass series share business, life, and spiritual advice and provide you with inspiration, guidance, and practical tips to help you achieve financial freedom, juggle the demands of home, family, and careers, and fulfill your purpose without sacrificing your dreams. Tune in and gather powerful guidance on how to be broken open, transformed, and go from broke to badass. On today's From Broke to Badass Masterclass, I'm joined by Don Depke, a results-driven life and success coach who shares tips on how to create balance when one is feeling overwhelmed. Don reminds us to breathe and be kind to ourselves and shares practical takeaways to better manage stress and time. Don is the founder of the Vibrant and Alive Now Empowerment Series and is author of Vibrant and Alive Now's Guide to Creating Your Vibrant Vision. With over 2 decades of experience in the field of holistic health, personal growth, and transformation, Don has led thousands of people just like you to reach higher levels of freedom and success. Listen in and be inspired. Hi, Don. Thanks so much for joining. How are you?
I'm great. How are you doing, Jen?
I'm so excited to have you on today because you have become one of my favorite people in the last few months. I met you specifically in a women's mastermind group that we're both a part of. I love the fact that through that we've gotten to get to know each other, but really brainstorm some amazing ideas, talk about our successes, talk about our challenges and struggles. And because of that, I've been able to attend some of your seminars or one of your seminars, which I really loved because it showed such, it was a long day, but I remember it broke things down, or you were able to break things down in such a practical way. And even after, and I can correct me if I'm wrong, it might have been an 8-day or an 8-hour program. But in that time, I remember leaving so encouraged and pumped up. So I absolutely love your wisdom when it comes to breaking down some strategies on how to identify and achieve goals. And because of that seminar, I also was introduced to one of your workbooks, which provided ultimately the same thing in a written format. So step-by-step instructions to kind of creating or finding your vision and then creating the life worth living. So thank you for the inspiration that you've given me. And I know who you are. I love and admire you. But for individuals who don't know who you are, can you tell us a little bit about yourself, your story, and what got you to where you are today?
Yes, absolutely. Well, thank you for that introduction. That was wonderful. I'm glad you enjoyed the class. You know, you bring up a really good point about it being understandable. I like to teach in a way that it's digestible. There has been so many seminars that I've gone to and, you know, just been so excited, but what do I do with it? What do I do now that I have this information? And so anytime I teach, I want to make sure that people know how to implement. I think that's one of the most important things. So my story is, I think I'm just going to start at the beginning. I've been a seeker and an adventurer my entire life. I think I came out of the womb kicking and screaming and excited for life. And, you know, I've always been a little bit of a risk taker. And that's just led me on such a fun life journey, offering me so many opportunities that I don't think I would have had I not been willing to take risk and to take chances. I think I have a different perception of life that I wish everybody would adopt, is that there's no such thing as failure. There's only feedback. And so many times people will say to me, I want to do this or that, but I'm too afraid. And I always say to them, well, what's the worst thing that could happen? And it's usually not even that bad, but it stops people from taking action. And so it's really been my life's mission, at least the last 2 decades, to really empower, educate, and inspire people really to embrace their greatness, to reach higher levels of health, happiness, wealth, and just really create a life worth living, mm-hmm. Create a life that's worth them. You know, like, we are so powerful beyond measure. We are such amazing creatures, and yet we don't believe that we are, or we don't know how to really harness that energy and really just be that fully self-expressed. And that's my mission in life, is really to help people hone into that, to really see their beauty, even if they're 10, 50 pounds overweight, to look in the mirror and say, I love that person looking back at me. Yeah, I've got some work to do, but I love you.
Gosh, that's so powerful, right? And probably not something most of us do on a regular basis, if not ever.
No, we don't.
The language tends to be a little more negative versus positive, which is very unfortunate, but I think that's kind of the nature of the beast, right?
Yep, exactly.
Opposite. So what do you tell someone if someone's kind of stuck in a rut? Let's say they've been at a job for a long time, they're kind of bored, or maybe they're a mom and they know they're meant for something more, but they're busy managing the household and trying to get the kids up. But there's something else that's kind of driving these people to find out kind of what their passion is, but they don't know where to start. What would you say to someone like that? What kind of work?
It just depends. It depends on where they're at. Usually when I talk to people one-on-one, I get a really good insight on where they're at. If I'm speaking to a group of people that come that have kind of lost their way, that was me 3 years ago. I was overwhelmed. I was exhausted. The passion that I had for my career was fizzling. I was spinning in all different directions, getting things done that didn't really mean anything. And I just felt unfilled and I didn't know what to do. And so the last 3 years of my life, I have dedicated to learning and growing. I hired a coach because I didn't know. You know, sometimes when we get in this routine and we don't really know what makes us happy anymore, we just are in this mundane, you know, got to get up, got to feed the dogs, got to get the kids out to school, you know, got to work or not, you know, just this routine. And it just becomes this habitual habit that sometimes I'll just ask somebody to do something different in a day. Like, go for a drive, go to the mall. You don't have to shop, you don't have to buy anything, but just do something out of your norm to break out of that habit. But I think, Jen, the most important thing is to ask yourself, what's important to you about life? And when you can find out what's the most important thing, that's called a value. And that's something that's hidden in our subconscious mind that you probably have about two or three off the top of your mind that you can just rattle off. But when you really sit and take some time to really think and journal this and even write it down, saying, you know, asking yourself, pondering these questions of what's really important to me right now in life, those deeper answers are going to come up. And your values are what motivate you, what inspire you, are what drive you, or what gets you out of the bed excited for the day. And if you don't know what motivates, inspires, and drives you, you're probably not living your highest potential. You're probably not living the best version of yourself. Because really, at the end of the day, what do we want? We want to be fulfilled. We want to feel happy and just feel like we're contributing. You know, that's what most people say they want to do when I coach them, is those are the three things.
I love
and
that.
Yeah. If you're not doing it, then, you know, life just feels a little bit like a routine.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So for people who may not be familiar with what a life coach is, what is a life coach in a nutshell? What do you do?
Well, there's a lot of different types of life coaching. I'm board certified in life and success coaching, and I'm also a master practitioner and trainer of neuro-linguistic programming, which is the language of the mind. And I come from 2 decades of working as a shiatsu therapist, where it's like acupuncture without the needle, so acupressure. So I have heard people on my table sharing deep secrets and their worries, their stresses. And so I was looking for something that I could combine all of my knowledge, all of my skills to really help somebody in a way that is so powerful. And the key is so quickly. And a life. So for me, life and success coaching is really meeting people with where they're at and helping them get out of their box, helping them step out of their comfort zone. Because everything that they want that they don't currently have is outside of that comfort zone. And sometimes you just need somebody to hold your hand and walk with you or tell you, you know, what to do. But what I love to do is I help people go inside. I ask questions. So a life coach really isn't somebody that's going to tell you what to do, but a life and success coach is going to ask those right questions so that the answer unfolds and it's your answer. Because what's right for one person might not be right for another person. What really motivates one might not motivate the other. So you have all of the answers inside of you. We all have the answers inside of us. It's when somebody can just ask that right question that gets you pondering or gets you thinking, that's when the magic happens.
Oh, I love that. It's so nice to have someone to guide you too, because if people are like me, I have a bazillion ideas, a bazillion goals. I think I know what I want. I think this is what I'm meant to do. But because I have so many, I have no idea where to start. Mm-hmm. And I kind of let them all, you know, I have journals all over the place and I'll work on one for a minute and then completely forget. So for me, the biggest change I've ever made in my life was hiring a life coach. It was in 2017. And what I found was when I started, I had no idea what I was good at other than my 9-to-5 job. I know I'm very good at that. I'm very successful at it. But when it came to what do I like outside of my job, I had no idea. I didn't know what I was passionate about. So hiring a life coach for me really made me do the homework, really dig in deeply to figure out, okay, what do I really like? And they were such simple questions, but questions I never even thought of asking myself. And then not only that, but they held me accountable. It's like, find whatever it is that you like, and then let's dig in a little deeper to that. And I think that's one of the things I loved about your seminar and your workbook. So you kind of ask individuals, and correct me if I'm wrong here, but what I remember is you kind of ask people to identify like a vision or a goal or a dream. And then I remember you had us dissect that in different sections. So to get that goal, what are three things I need to do? And then you write those three things down. And then to get to those three things, what else do I have to do? And I found that that was such a practical way to make a difference, especially for scatterbrained. Which right. Guilty as charged. So do you find, obviously it's successful if you've written a book and it's part of your strategy, but do you find that people are like me, or am I kind of one of the only ones that tends to be all over the place and really has no idea what to focus on?
Oh no, there's a lot of people like that. I love it that people are dreamers and they have all these ideas and they just don't know what to do with them, right? It's not something that we're ever taught in school. So we really don't know what to do. We know we have all these ideas, right? So the thing is that alone can be overwhelming. And when you're in overwhelm, you don't know which direction to go. You don't know which step to take. And so there's a method to sifting down overwhelm and getting to really what's the core. So for you, with all these ideas and all these amazing things that you could do, you could do any one of those avenues. Right? But what I would ask you is, what's the most important to you, right? We would do your values elicitation. We would find out what's really the most important to you. And then we would match. Does that idea reach your top 10? And if not, then don't do it. Mm-hmm. Then it's just a fun idea to give to somebody else, right? As long as at the end of the day, the things that you're doing in life are in alignment with what's most important to you, you're going to feel fulfilled. No matter what those things are.
Gosh, I love that. And it's so hard to figure that out. So normally when, I mean, maybe I'm speaking from experience. I don't know if this is the same for everyone, but I feel like for me, I hired a life coach when I was at one of my probably darkest times in terms of feeling stressed and overwhelmed. And I can only imagine that so many people hire a life coach when they're feeling the same. It's like, I'm just kind of, I don't know what else to do. So for me, it was almost like a desperate measure of like, I know I can do better, but how? And so if someone comes to you already feeling overwhelmed, already feeling stressed out, and this is kind of a two-parted question. So one, what would be the first thing you would tell them to do to kind of help them get in a place where they really start to feel a little more balanced? And then we'll go into the second part, which I guess would be not just at the beginning of the work, but day to day. But let's start with that one. Someone comes to you feeling completely overwhelmed. What's the first thing you do to make them feel a little better?
I smile at them. And I look at them, you know, looking at somebody in the eyes and acknowledging them where they're at. And even I do most of my work via Zoom, and I see them through the computer. And I ask them to take a nice big deep breath. you know, and I just give them permission to feel how they're feeling. And I think that's one of the most important things that I learned over 20 years of working one-on-one with people, is that you just have to meet them with where they're at and acknowledge it and let them vent, right? Just let it out. I give them the first session to do that. You know, just tell me everything that's happening. Tell me what's overwhelming. Tell me what's going on for you. And I don't listen to their story the same way a friend would. I listen to their story. I listen for limiting beliefs, limiting decisions, and negative emotions and conflicts. You know, part of me feels this way, part of me feels that. I don't really know what to do, right? So those are the things that I listen for. And as a coach, there are certain techniques that I can use with their mind and certain questions that I can ask them to help them release anger, sadness, fear, hurt, guilt, worry, anxiety around these things. Release those limiting beliefs that I'm not good enough, I'm not worthy, I don't know how to do this, right? Because once those are gone, can you imagine? It's like we're an onion. And when those negative emotions and those limiting beliefs and decisions are gone, and believe me, it's not hard to do, it's simple. It just takes a really brave person to be vulnerable enough to allow themselves to do this work.
Gosh, it's so
it is, right? And when those things go away, can you imagine what's left? That amazing, powerful self that's just happy and that wants to express themselves and make the world a better place. And so that's what I help sift through initially before we even get to what's important to them.
Because, and you're right, because if you have those limiting beliefs, if you have roadblocks or barriers, do you find that if you don't get rid of those, doing the work becomes that much harder, right? Because
yeah,
you don't, you're not believing it, right? You're not coming,
right.
You know, it's so blocks or limiting beliefs are so deep rooted and they affect us in so many ways, but we have to learn how to let those go in order to take the next step to kind of healing and achieving a little bit more. So if someone's at home, and you touched upon this earlier, you know, a lot of times we have such negative self-talk. What's the first thing, and I don't want to say the first thing, but I have a friend, for example, I have a friend whose grandmother is 96 years old. And I feel like my friend needs to write a book about her grandmother because this woman's knowledge and wisdom is so powerful. She says, whenever she walks into a room that has a mirror, she smiles at herself.
I love that.
I just got the chills. So it's such a powerful, simple act to do. But I can't tell you, I've done that. I mean, I might smile at myself if I feel like I look good before I go out, or, you know, my hair and makeup's all done. But on a daily basis, I'm not even sure if I look at myself in the mirror, to be honest. So those little things, it's something so small and so easy that has such a profound effect. So if someone has negative self-talk, what's the first thing you would tell them to do to kind of start changing that language? So this is before you even do kind of the deeper work with those limiting beliefs, but I feel like it would be an important step. Do you?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, there's a couple different things depending on the personality of the person. You know, if somebody's strong enough to, well, first recognize those voices, a lot of times we hear them and they're just this record, this background just playing constantly, that it's just normal. Right? So when you can stop and like recognize that that voice is happening, there's a couple things. One, you can look at it and say, really? Like, you've been talking all this time and I'm not giving you power anymore, right? You can ask yourself, whose voice is it anyway? It's probably somebody that you heard while you were growing up, a parent, somebody of authority, a teacher saying something to you that if you heard it enough and you started to believe it, it became a belief for you. And then that voice just tends to keep talking, right? It's not true. Most of the time, it's not true. And if it was, and if you did have any slightest bit of belief in it in the past, the person that you are today, it's not true anymore, right? So I teach something called pattern interrupt. When somebody can actually hear those voices, you can actually slap your hands and say, stop. You can jump up and down. You can do some jumping jacks. You can put some music on, because some people will hear those voices and really take a downward spiral. They will listen to them and believe them as if they're true, right? So I teach them to turn those voices down and to turn up the ones that say, you're amazing, you can do this, there's a solution. If you didn't have if you couldn't do it, you wouldn't have the idea, like, you're awesome. So there's a lot of different techniques, but a pattern interrupt is really good just something to shift the energy. Look up, look outside, take a deep breath. And then another thing you can do is say that same thing to yourself in Mickey Mouse's voice. Like, make it silly, you know, and then you'll laugh about it and be like, really, it's just stupid. It's stopping me from being who I want to be. And really, I'm going to give it that much power. I think the thing is, Jen, when people really learn how powerful they are, when people really learn that they can control the emotions that they're feeling, that's when the magic happens, because we're not taught that we can control those voices. We're not ever taught that we can turn those down. We're not taught that they're not true, right? And so when you start to believe in yourself, you start to kind of puff up and laugh at them, and pretty soon they go away.
It's so true. So with pattern interrupt, that's such an interesting concept, because it is a distraction. You're doing something and you're finding a way to distract your mind. How long, and I guess it would be different for everyone, so I'm not sure if there's a clear answer, but how long in your experience does it take someone, like, you know, it takes 21 days to create a habit or a new habit. Have you found there to be like a success rate? Like, normally if you do this for a week or so or 2 days, it starts to change the way you're thinking and feeling. I mean, I love the Mickey Mouse voice, because it makes you realize how silly it is, your whatever silly voice you're using, that you're having such a silly thought, but it's a way to distract it. So if someone's doing this, I mean, I would hope in a quick amount of time they would kind of realize, you know what, I'm going to change the language. But what do you find in the work you do? Is it easy? I guess if it was easy, everybody would do it, but How much time do you think it usually takes?
Well, it's hard to say, because the people that I attract to me are ready to take action. So it happens for them really quick. I do usually weekly sessions. And so in a 7-day, 6-day process of them doing it, it already starts to diminish. It all depends on how committed you are to getting the change. I can only lead somebody to water. I can't make them drink, right? You've heard that saying about the horse. I can only give people the tools, but they have to take the action to do them. I could tell somebody till I'm blue in the face to do a pattern interrupt, but it's up to them. So sure. I'm really fortunate. I have the most amazing clients and people that I work with who they're just hungry for change. They're hungry for really creating a life of power. And so it's like, for them, it's really fast.
I love
that. We're also working on the deeper stuff too. I mean, you can do pattern interrupt. You can use EFT tapping to move through emotions. You can do these cool spinning technique. But it's really when you get down to the roots of the problem and deal with it, like releasing the anger, sadness, fear, hurt, guilt, all those negative emotions, when you're really releasing the limiting beliefs and decisions about yourself, that's when the magic happens. That's when those voices automatically stop speaking, and you don't have to take the effort in doing the pattern interrupt. So it's kind of like, it's a remedy. It's a quick remedy while we're dealing with the deeper issues. So it works together. I work on both things. I give them quick fix while we're working on the deeper stuff. Does that make sense?
It definitely does. And in fact, you know, I recently, we had a session together where I was feeling extremely overwhelmed, and not just overwhelmed, but very resentful. I was ending my work day after maybe a 12-hour day, and I was just frustrated and annoyed and, you know, pissed off at the world, because here I'm working so hard and is anyone really noticing? And I hit you up and I said, all right, I need help, because this is how I'm feeling. And we did a quick session together. And in that session, you taught me such easy things. And again, all of this to me, it just seems so obvious, but never in my right mind did I think of doing it. One of them was, you just had me write down a list of goals to do the next day. So at the end of each day, take a moment to really regroup, write down your goals for the next day. And I'm going to have you go into why you had me do that. You had me kind of take a deep breath and then give thanks for the day that I just accomplished. But then you also had me do tapping, which I'd never done before. So can you kind of talk about those little things, three things? And the reason behind each one?
Yes, definitely. Well, the reason why I had you write everything down is to empty your subconscious mind. So we have two main parts of our mind, the conscious mind and the subconscious mind. The conscious mind is very logical. The subconscious mind is very playful. And if, you know, when we're overwhelmed, the subconscious mind will keep in the most inopportune times, keep reminding you of the things that you need to do, right? So in order to quiet that part of your mind, the best thing to do is grab a pad of sticky notes and write down everything you need to get done. It's just called a brain dump, right? Your subconscious mind can take a breath then. It goes, oh, thank you. You got it out. Then you create open space in your mind for other things, for creativity, for sleeping, for resting. When your mind is continuing, because I remember you saying your mind was just continuously going through the night, you weren't sleeping well. That's pretty normal for people. We don't really tend to have rituals anymore. And so brain dumping at night is a nice ritual to get into, to just empty the mind so that you can sleep better, that you're not thinking about all of the million things that you have to do. And then, because they're on sticky notes, you can prioritize them and say, okay, what are the three things that I need to get done tomorrow? What are pressing? What's going to move the needle for me that's going to make the biggest difference in life? Then you have all the rest of them that says, oh, maybe next week, maybe next month. And you can actually put them in your daily planner. Or if you're using electronics, you can, you know, type it in down the road and recheck in. Right. And so that's why I had you do that. What was the second one?
The second one was you had me do writing things down. You had me do gratitude. So kind of acknowledging or giving gratitude for what I had accomplished in the day. Mm-hmm. And then the third, the tapping, which I think was probably the most powerful part.
Yes. So gratitude, my coach says gratitude is like rocket fuel to the law of attraction. It's when you can be grateful for things in your day. And I'm even talking to spread, to expand yourself a little bit and even be grateful for the things that didn't go well, because what did you learn from those things? You know, I was raised by a drill sergeant father, and as strict as he was a really loving father. And what I love about his parenting was that he allowed us to make mistakes. But the first thing he would say is, what did you learn from it, Dawn? And of course I would have to think, and you know, I really did ponder it, and I always learned something from it. And he said, all right, next time you do it, it's a choice, then you're going to get in trouble. But he gave us that leeway to just be a kid and to just try things and be creative and mess up. And, you know, I think that really taught me a lot about learning from the things that don't quite go as well. And instead of looking at it as a failure, I think he really instilled in me a belief that it's not failing. You know, I get up and try again, try it differently, take that feedback, right? So being grateful about the wins and successes of the day, you know, I think a lot of times our mind tends to go to the negative of what went wrong and what can I do differently? And that's like a low vibration that brings you down, right? And in order to really live a life of power, you know, feeling good about things is really going to get you there. You know, I'm sure you've heard of the law of attraction. We are all magnets. We are all attracting the good, the bad, everything that's coming to us. And when we can focus on the good things that are happening, when we can really show gratitude, and by gratitude, just being grateful for being able to breathe, being able to, you know, have the use of our arms and legs, like as simple as that is. Have you ever hurt a part of your body and you realize how much you actually use it? And when you can't, mm-hmm. You know, it's a really appreciating those things and not taking them for granted. That's really going to help raise your vibration. And because the law of attraction is such a powerful law of the universe, it's going to just bring more good to you. You know, there's always two sides of the coin. There's always a positive and a negative. You can always look at the good or you can look at the bad. Are you a half full or a half empty glass? You know, it's your choice. And I think that's the most powerful thing, is that realizing how much choice and free will you have and choosing to look at the bright side of things.
Which is so important, because I find myself, I tend to think I'm a pretty positive person on most, you know, in most occasions. However, when I'm feeling overwhelmed, I start to get resentful. And the last thing I feel when I'm resentful is grateful, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. So for me, that simple step that you had me do, because you're absolutely right. Normally at the end of the day, you focus on all of the negative, but if we stop and look, it's like, wait a second. Well, yes, I might have worked a 12-hour day. I might be overwhelmed. I might be tired, but I landed a a new account today, or, you know, I helped a team member overcome a challenge, or, you know, I received a compliment from my number one client, whatever it was, you start to then create a shift that then, when I did that, it allowed me to kind of take a deep breath and relax a little bit. And it's maybe it was kind of like a pattern interruption, right? You just had me, I just one negative thought, I changed it to the next. And suddenly I ended the day just a little bit better, or better than before.
Yeah,
the other thing you had me do was tapping. I've heard of tapping. I've never done it before though, in the way that you had me do it. Can you describe what that is and the benefits of it?
Oh, definitely. So I love, especially when I'm just first starting working with people, this is, I taught my niece and nephew how to do this. You can teach kids, you can teach elderly, every single person in the world can do this. Handicapped people can do it. You can tap for them. It's a really powerful tool, and it was created by a man named Gary Craig, and it's called emotional freedom technique. And a lot of people just call it tapping. It's become really popular these days. I was trained in it, oh, probably 17 years ago. It's been quite a while. And it was interesting because when I was first learning about it, people did not know why it worked. And as soon as I saw the technique, you're tapping on your head and the corner of your eyes, below your chin, in different areas. And I was like, oh, because I had a background in Chinese medicine and shiatsu, I said, those are acupuncture points. It made absolute complete sense to me that as you're tapping on your body and you're tapping on acupuncture points, now the acupuncture points are related to emotions, season, color, time of day. I mean, it's a whole science in itself. But to keep it really simple, acupuncture points relate to emotions, and the particular ones that you're pressing on and tapping on helps to move anger, grief, sadness, overwhelm, stress. And so it made sense that even just tapping on those areas would help move that negative energy through you. But the one neat thing that's different about tapping is that you actually acknowledge the negative emotion that you're feeling. So if you're angry, if you're frustrated, if you're feeling resentful, you acknowledge it. And you tap on, and you really are feeling that feeling of resent, and you tap on these places, and all of a sudden it's like magic. The body resets itself. The energy channels through the body start to move, and the emotions just dissolve. And it's so simple. You keep saying, you know, you keep bringing up these things that I've taught you are so simple. It's getting back to the basics. I think somewhere along the line, we learned that things needed to be difficult.
Mm-hmm. And we overcomplicate things.
We totally do. And when we just get back to the simple things, it makes all the difference in the world. Mm-hmm. People believe they can do simple things, right?
Someone recently said, I heard them saying that they were talking about kind of just in sales, they said, make things stupid simple. And it doesn't mean that you're offending anyone or you're doing something to purposely offend someone. It just makes, it's just focuses on just make it as easy as possible or simplify it. And now it's important because you're right. None of this stuff is rocket science, but we've forgotten it. Or we don't apply it, and it's not until someone brings it out. So thank goodness for people like you who are around to kind of bring us back to our roots and help us remember that it doesn't take a lot to make a big difference, and it starts with the simple things. So whether it's positive self-talk, whether it's identifying what those limiting beliefs are, and limiting beliefs can be a little more challenging, but if you identify them, it's the first step you need to go to heal or to achieve that next level of freedom or success that you're hoping for. If someone doesn't know what tapping is, or if they just can't, I'm a visual person, if they can't visualize it, do you happen to have anything on your website, or can you direct someone to see a sample of it?
Yes, you can definitely go to Vibrant and Alive Now on social media. I have videos on YouTube. I have videos on Facebook. And you can also go to Gary Craig's website. It's Emo Free. So EMO as an emotion, emofree.com. I haven't been there in a while. They used to give this stuff away for free, but I don't believe they do anymore. They used to have videos and things, but if you Google it, you'll find something on it. And, you know, just remember not to overcomplicate it. There probably are different ways to do it. As long as you have the intention to move the energy through you, your intention is the most powerful thing that you have. So you don't have to be perfect. You don't have to do it in the exact right spot. As long as you're intending and you're taking that action, it's going to be fine.
I love that. And that's so important to point out, because for people like me who are a control freak, I try to master everything. Like, I can't do it well until I kind of figure it out and master it. And that's, it's so silly, because if we keep thinking that way, we're never going to do anything. But just in a sense, have the intention to work on it slowly. It doesn't matter if you're messing up, you know, it doesn't matter if you look silly. Cause I think, you know, when you're tapping, and it's funny because at some point you kind of look like a monkey when you're tapping.
Yep.
You just have to not think about what you're doing, right? And don't focus on what you look like. Just focus on the benefits. And I have to tell you, when I end the day and I do tapping and I have the certain mantras that I say as I do it, it probably takes, gosh, I don't even think it takes more than 2 minutes. And what a difference it makes. I mean, it literally feels like a weight is lifted off my shoulders when I do.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And I kind of just end the day and it's like, all right, I'm now ready to, you know, make dinner or do whatever and just feel better.
Yes.
So I love this. So if you have to give our listeners 3 practical takeaways to help them kind of implement feeling at peace, either creating more balance in their daily routines or diminishing, you know, the feelings of overwhelm, what are 3 things? I mean, you touched upon some already, but what would be 3 things that listeners can either apply as soon as they're done listening to this or tomorrow, just to help them create kind of a less stressed life?
Yeah, absolutely. I've got a couple. I think the first thing is just to take a deep breath and to look at the big picture. When we're overwhelmed, we are so in the moment of all the things that we have to do day in and day out. And if we just take a step back and take a breath and look at life in that moment, it tends to just take a little pressure off. Then chunk down. It's something that we call chunking down in NLP, which is just for that moment, what is the one task? What is the one thing that you need to get done? Don't think about all the 15 things that are on your list. Just pick one. Pick the one that's the most important. And if you're looking at your list saying, they all are important, just pick one. Just start, because there's something called the law of momentum, that once you just get started, all of a sudden you're going to have 3-4 things done on your list. I think the thing with overwhelm, unfortunately, is that it paralyzes us. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like we get so overwhelmed and we freeze, or we stick our head in the sand, and then we feel guilt and shame about, and even disappointed in ourselves. Well, that doesn't serve us, right? So when we can recognize that overwhelm is just a feeling and take that control back and say, okay, I'm feeling that feeling. Pick one thing and just start taking momentum. That's going to be the biggest thing.
Oh, so powerful.
And go ahead.
Nope. Just, I'm agreeing with you. Give me a high five, a fist bump in the air.
Woohoo! The second thing is, this was a huge game changer for me. I read Miracle Morning for the Entrepreneur, and there was something in there that I had never really thought about. In fact, it was something that I think that I had resisted my entire life, and that was creating a weekly schedule. So what I mean by that, and this is something that we talked about during your session, is you were trying to train salespeople multiple days of the week. And I just suggested taking that training, can you just do it all in one day? Right? Because we have all these tasks and all these different things that we're trying to do. And it takes a little bit of shifting. Like, I don't know, in school, if you remember, they used to tell us, put on your thinking cap. Mm-hmm. So I say is put on that one cap for the day. Like for me, my schedule is Mondays is my marketing Mondays. The only thing I do on Mondays is anything associated with marketing. All my social media campaigns, all of my posts, my autoresponders, anything that has to do with marketing, that's the only thing I do. Tuesdays and Fridays are my coaching days. Those are the only days I see clients. That way I'm solely focused on taking care of those clients. My Wednesdays are my creation day. It's my product creation day. It's what am I going to do today to help my customers, to help my clients, to help the people that don't even know I'm out there yet. What content can I create to make a difference in the world, right? And then Thursdays, because I still live in the real world, I have to go grocery shopping and I have to do my food prep and my chores for the house. And so when you can pick and segment your day into only doing certain things, that way you know every Thursday you go grocery shopping. You get enough for the whole week, so you're not going 2-3 times during the week wasting that valuable time. Because when we're in overwhelm, we have too much to do and not enough time to do it in. But if you can start to compartmentalize, you're going to have more brain space, which is going to allow you to feel more calm and probably sleep better. And you know, just every day has a certain meaning. And when you're doing that task, this is probably the second most important thing, is silence your phone. Turn off the banner notifications on your laptop so that you can be single focused on that task. And you're going to be able to get it done so much more efficient and effective. You're going to start breezing through things, and something that used to take you 4 hours to do, you're going to get it done in an hour or two.
Gosh, that is so good. I started doing that with my email. So on most computers now, or most email systems, you know, you have your email, and whether or not you have your email inbox open, you'll get the notifications on the bottom corner. Mm-hmm. And those are either, A, they're distracting as all hell to see them come in. But if you're focused on something, and let's say an email came in like urgent or bad news, it completely shifts your mindset, what you're thinking of. So for me, I now turn those notifications off on everything. And I try to, similar to segmenting your day, segmenting hours in the day where I only check emails. So it's the little things, right? So mm-hmm. if you're busy or you're always at your computer, find a way to turn those notifications off or try to eliminate the distractions if you can.
Yeah, absolutely. And one other thing too, when you're eating, eat. Just eat. Don't be watching TV. Don't be driving. Notice in each moment what it's like just to be in the moment. Because if we are multitasking continuously, it's like a year has gone by and we're like, what did we accomplish this year? I don't feel, and maybe I did accomplish a bunch, but I don't feel like I was present. Right. So try to really be present. If you're marketing, really be marketing. If you're with a client, don't be thinking about what you have to make for dinner, right? Be with that person. And so I think that alone will just increase happiness. It has for me, and it has for a lot of my clients.
And something I need to get better at for sure. I mean, I've done a good job, and you're absolutely right. In one of the sessions, you did suggest to segment my days, do trainings just on one day. And I have, and it makes such a big difference, but I still need to get better at it. I haven't mastered the task because I'm still kind of, some days I'm all over the place, but it was so easy to kind of decide, okay, you're right. Tuesdays will be my day where I just focus on training. So I used to do Monday, Tuesday, Wednesdays. I train a different individual. Now it's all day Tuesday. And it makes it easy because you're kind of in the same mindset the whole time as well. So mm-hmm, kind of absolutely. Like you're repeating Monday. So then you're not distracted with your other things, but such small, powerful steps that make a big difference, just like everything else you do. So helpful.
I'm good. I've got a third tip.
Awesome.
So this one is a big one. This one is automate, delegate, and eliminate. So when you're overwhelmed, look at everything that you have to do, and you're going to be brain dumping, right? You're going to be writing all these things down on sticky notes, and look at that list and ask yourself, how can I automate these things? Right now we live in such an amazing digital world. There's so much that you can automate, you know, like for marketing, even you can automate when those emails go out. You can automate all your social media posts. You can hire somebody to do all that. But there's so many things that you can automate. The second is to delegate. And I think this is one of the hardest things for people, especially women, is to ask for help. I mean, I see my husband struggle with it too. We were raised to believe that, you know, we're going to do it the best and nobody is going to do it any better than you. So we've got a little bit of mindset work to clear out, but we're getting better. Is asking for help and delegating things and allowing, you know, trusting other people to do it as well as you, or train them to do it as well as you, right? So delegating things. And if you're finding that you really can't delegate a lot with your business or with your kids or things, delegate the house cleaning. Your time, if it's going to take you 3 to 4 hours to clean your home, hire somebody to do it for $75. Your time is worth way more than $25 an hour. Mm-hmm. Right? So delegating that, delegate the laundry. You know, like we were taught how to do laundry as a kid. And, you know, my mom did most of it, but we certainly knew how. And if we needed something done, we went down there and washed it ourselves. So asking for help, asking for other people to pitch in. And then the third thing is to eliminate. Eliminate the things that are heavy on you that aren't necessarily going to move the needle for you right now. Or maybe it's something that you want to do in the future, but it keeps taking up valuable mental space because that subconscious mind keeps spitting it out saying, hey, when are we going to do this? Hey, when are we going to do this? Hey, when are we going to do this? And you keep saying, not yet, not yet, not yet. I don't have enough time. Write all that stuff down and categorize it in like A, B, C, D. A's are like the things I got to do right now. B's get done after the A's. C's are maybes. And D's are sometimes or maybe never. Right. And so eliminating things will help give you more mental capacity and energy for the things that you're focusing on right now. Does that make sense?
It definitely makes sense. And it's so good. I mean, it's hard to do though. I mean, as much as some of these things are so simple, I think of all the tips you gave, and these are absolutely the hardest, delegating and eliminating nightmares. And most people, as you mentioned, are because you hit the nail on the head. So you said a lot of times we don't trust that other people can do it the way we do. And you know, what I've learned as the control freak that I am is, you know, yeah, maybe they didn't do it exactly how I did it, but they did it and it got done and everything's fine. So it is trusting that, you know, doesn't have to be my exact way. Maybe they're not going to say it exactly how I said it, but they did it. And then eliminating for me, that's a tough one. Because I feel like everything I do is so important. So, which is so silly because not everything is. But give me an example, because I have a hard time with that. I don't know what on earth I could eliminate to make my day a little better. I guess I'm in terms of household work, I have to say my husband's a saint that we do split a lot of the tasks, and sometimes he does more than I do. How do you pick something to eliminate if you don't, like, if I didn't have my husband, I'd have to do the dishes. I wouldn't be able to eliminate that. But give me a tip. Help me out with this one.
Write down the things that you do in the day and ask yourself, if you could only do one, what would it be?
Yeah.
Right? And that's your number one. Then with the rest of the list that's remaining, ask yourself, if I could only do one, what would it be? So what you're doing is you're rating them from most important to least important, or man, I can't live without clean underwear, so you better believe I'm doing the laundry, right? So you start to rate the things that are most important to you or that you can't live without, right? And I mean, eliminating might be, instead of doing your laundry, maybe delegating it, like eliminating it from your pile and delegating it, having a laundry service come in, right? So sometimes these merge together where you're taking it off your plate and eliminating it. But I mean bigger things like projects and things. Like let's say somebody has, like you say you're an idea person, right? So you probably have ideas to maybe write a book, to have a blog, to, you know, all these things. Ask yourself right now, what can I take off of my mind and just put it on a sticky note and say, maybe in a year or two, like that's the kind of eliminating I'm saying, is like, get those things out of your mind so that you have the capacity to do the things that are most important to you right now.
Awesome. So, thank you so much for clarifying that. Cause my mind just went straight to the fact of, I can't get rid of anything. Like I can't eliminate anything, but you're so right. As soon as you just said, shift it, get it off of your plate, give it to someone else. Then suddenly it kind of gets a little easier. Right. So
definitely.
It's so good. The control freak in me loves that about you, and hopefully the others will as well. But no, again, little tasks. And that's the reason why we're doing these, right? Just giving three practical takeaways for individuals to really implement and hopefully make their lives a little better, hopefully help them achieve greatness and whatever it is that they're trying to achieve. But I do have one more question for you, because what I find is that most successful people are people like yourselves, who's taken it, made a change. Kind of, you found yourself in a rut a few years back. Now you're doing exactly what you love. So individuals such as yourself tend to have, or hopefully have, a morning or evening ritual. Do you have one? And if so, what is it?
I do. And you know, it kind of just naturally evolved. But again, after reading The Miracle Morning, they talked about having a ritual. And I was always all over the place with my mornings. I was scattered. I would check emails one day. I would take the dogs for a walk another day. I would sleep in another day. And it was so chaotic. And that's when I realized I wasn't getting the things done in my day that were really important. I was getting the stupid stuff done. And I felt really sad at the end of the day. And then that sadness turned to anger because I was mad that I wasn't able to create my content to help the world, right? And so a couple of the morning rituals that I think for me have been big game changers is waking up at the same time every day. And when your body can get in a rhythm, like we're creatures of habit, right? So when we start a habit, and it is a limiting belief that habits, it takes 21 days to create a habit. You can choose to create a habit right now. And I know you've done this before and boom, it's a habit, right? So you can do it as long as you make that choice in the moment that you're just going to do it and just do it, right? So waking up at the same time every day. When I wake up, I take a big deep breath and immediately I go into gratitude. Immediately, it's just second nature now. So I think about all the things I'm grateful for. And because I know about the law of attraction and I believe in it, whether you believe it or not, it's still happening. I imagine myself as a magnet and all of these amazing things that I'm creating, all of the things that I want in life, I just see coming towards me, just super fast and sticking to me. And that just makes me happy. So once I get up, usually within about 10 minutes, I'll do some sort of burst exercise. So I usually go to the bathroom, I go into the living room, and I do 30 seconds of jumping jacks or running in place as fast as I can. Because the body tends to, once you're in motion, it tends to stay in motion. So in the morning, I have to get it moving. And it's quick. It's a 30-second thing. I just count to 30 seconds, and all of a sudden, I feel so much better. Then I grab a big glass of tepid water. Cold water will shock the system, so tepid or warm water is the best to do because you're dehydrated through the night. So in the morning, start the day with a big glass of water. And then I sit in silence, usually with a cup of tea or a cup of coffee, and I just breathe. I just sit there in silence, and it's such a nice feeling to have a moment in my day. Because I'm very productive. I'm like a whirling dervish. I'm a Sagittarius. I'm a fire sign. I love to like get things done. And so I know from the moment I get up to the moment I go to sleep, there's a lot of movement in my day. So starting the day in silence and just sitting really grounded is really, really beneficial. And then I read something. I read my SMART goals. I read for the year. I write out what I want to create as if it's happened. So I'm so grateful now that I have this. And what happens is it gets my mindset focused on the bigger picture, right? When we're in details and we're in that overwhelm, it's sometimes pulling yourself out to the bigger picture and reminding yourself of your purpose in life. You know, like you were saying, you were getting resentful, you know, am I even making a difference? And I'm doing all these things. But when you take a step back and you see the bigger picture, you can realize again, like remind yourself, yes, I am making a difference in the world. And that's a really good thing to do. So positive daily affirmations. I actually created a 9-minute power meditation that if I don't really want to read or if I don't want to, you know, watch something or listen to YouTube, I'll listen to my 9-minute power meditation and it's super fast and it's all positive things that pump me up and shift my mindset and put me in a state where I can be in a peak state starting my day. I get focused, my energy increases, and I'm ready to take on the day. And so that's my morning ritual.
Gosh, so good. And it seems like you have a lot. How long does that tend to take you? Do you do it for an hour? Is it less than that?
Well, I used to, I didn't have any time, right? I was so crazy. I gave myself 5 minutes to do all that. I set a timer and I did 1 minute of silence, 1 minute of gratitude, 1 minute of reading my goals, 1 minute of positive affirmations, and like 30 seconds of exercise. And that was it. That's all I could give myself. And to be honest, I take about an hour now because I realized that 5 minutes charged me so much. I felt so good that I thought, well, it just kind of kept getting longer and longer and longer as the weeks went on and months went by. And now I take my time, I ponder, and literally I get up at 6 to 6:30 in the morning and I don't start my workday until about 10. I go for a walk. I take my dogs for a walk. I go through this whole ritual and some days I start coaching at 8, but for the most part, the rest of my week, you know, I take 4 hours in the morning to just set up my day and eat and shower and do all those amazing things to just, you know, set my life up to be amazing. And the funny thing is I used to have a lot less time, and now I'm so much more efficient and effective because I have done these things. You know, I'm telling you all these tools, and it's not easy at first. Like, pick one and start and implement that in your day. Once that becomes a habit and normal for you, pick a second one, start implementing that. Pretty soon you're going to have this amazing ritual. You're going to be able to get out of overwhelm super fast. You're going to be prioritized. You're going to be able to chunk up and chunk down really quick. You're going to tap and move through those emotions in 30 seconds. And you're going to have a couple hours at the end of the day for you, for whatever it is that makes you happy. If you want to go have fun or spend time with your family, or if you are dating, you know, go for a walk in the woods or on the beach, you know, you're going to have that time for you because you're streamlining your day. Mm-hmm. And when you start and end your day in a powerful way, every day is going to feel amazing.
Gosh, so good. And especially, like you said, you started with 5 minutes. That's all it took. Five minutes. So don't, you know, I know that you and I both are on the same page. We started with just a few minutes, and now for me, it's about an hour, hour and a half in the mornings. And that's my time that no matter what happens in my day, at least I invested in myself. I started in on the right foot. I feel better. So if everything else kind of goes to hell, at least I had that hour, hour and a half, but it doesn't have to be that long. So if you're a busy individual, if you're a mom that has babies who gets up really early, know that it doesn't just work if you have an hour. You can do it in minutes, and it's 5 minutes that you're investing in yourself to make a huge impact. So start small, simplify it, make it stupid simple if you have to, and then reap the benefits, because you're so right that those few minutes will make a huge change. And I have a feeling most people will be like you and I, where they start to add and add and add, and down the road, they'll probably be about an hour of their time.
Yeah, absolutely.
So good. Dawn, thank you so much for joining me. I really appreciate it. If individuals want to follow you either on your website or on social media, where can they find you?
They can find me at vibrantandalivenow.com. So vibrantandalivenow.com. So think about how you want to feel. You want to feel vibrant and alive right now, right? So Vibrant and Alive Now, social media channels, of course. My website is vibrantandalivenow.com. And I have a free gift for anybody who goes to the website. It is my guide to creating your vibrant morning. So it's my whole morning ritual and why. It actually, I write in there why to do it, because there are some why learners that if they don't understand why, they're not going to do it. I think that way. I'm like, well, why are you telling me this? Why does that work that way? So I need to understand that. So I'm happy to give that away for free. You can immediately download it. It will help you be more productive in your day. It'll boost your confidence. You know, when you start feeling better about yourself and you start being more efficient, it's amazing how much that confidence and self-worth increases. So my gift to everybody that's listening to this, please go there and share it with your friends. You know,
awesome.
Share it with the world.
And we will definitely share that link also on the bottom of your profile on the website, exactly where you clicked to listen to this interview will be the link to download Dawn's free gift. So thank you, Dawn, for that. Thank you for your time. And thank you for everything you do for myself and for others. We appreciate you. Thank you for listening to the From Broke to Badass Masterclass series. I hope you're feeling inspired to take control of your finances, create balance, and live your best life. To continue your journey of transformation, be sure to join the In the Life of Zen tribe, where for only $5.55 a month, you'll receive weekly guidance, inspiration, and tools to make you even more badass than you already are. For less than the cost of a cup of coffee, you'll have access to weekly powerful mantras, meditations, tapping sessions, tip sheets, and articles to help you live the life of your dreams. Visit www.inthelifeofzen.com to join this badass tribe. And if you know other women who will benefit from these interviews, please spread the love by sending them the link to this masterclass series. And stay tuned for more from In the Life of Zen. Visit us at inthelifeofzen.com and follow us on social media at In the Life of Zen.